Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a wonderful day to be gathered together in worship of our most wonderful God. Appreciate you joining us today. I want to run through some quick announcements before we get going. Just a reminder that Lutheran Brethren Youth Fellowship is going to be meeting at the Knudsen home today for the big game, big party. And that invitation is to all the families. Sisters, brothers, mothers, uncles, all that kind of stuff. And so that'll be at the Knudsen home. If you don't know your way there, please see Dan. And speaking about seeing Dan, if you're in need of your contribution statement for the last year for your taxes, please see him about that. Also, this is just kind of an open call to anyone who wants to provide flowers for the altar here. You can go ahead and donate flowers for any kind of occasion, whether it's birthday or in memory of someone special or a special event, anything like that, or just because you'd like to. Please do that. And if you're providing flowers for the altar for a special event like a birthday or whatever, you can certainly let me know and I can announce the occasion on that Sunday. Also, just another reminder that if you're a member of Thrivent Financial, you get those Thrivent Choice dollars, which is basically free money that you can donate to a charity of your choice. And so if you haven't looked into your account lately, do that and see what you might have there. And if you feel led, you can donate those dollars to the church here, and they go towards supporting the ministries of our Lutheran Brethren Youth Fellowship. And that is always appreciated. As I'm looking through the opportunities this week, it's a pretty normal week coming up. Women's Bible Study is meeting at 1 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. And Wednesday evening is our Family Fellowship and Kids Bible Club with confirmation class happening at 7 o'clock as well. And then next Sunday is our usual schedule. Are there any other announcements that need to get out there this morning? All right. Very good. Well, then let's begin our worship with our call to worship, which today comes from Psalm 112, verses 1 and 2. And you can find that written in your bulletin there or on the screen of our projector, which is currently off. So you better go to your bulletin. All right, Psalm 112, verses 1 and 2. Let's read that together. Praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Praise the Lord indeed. Let's do praise him in song this morning with our choruses.
Thank you.
resound with songs of praise to the Father's power and love. For the one who set his star in place chose to set his heart on us. To the one whose might gives victory and whose mercies never cease. As the tapestry of history tells the story of his grace. King immortal, faithful God, crowned with splendor, rich in love, let the heavens and the earth resound with songs of praise to him. Let the earth be still before the sight of our Father's sacrifice. Every veil that does of love divine in the face of Jesus Christ. Through a life of full obedience and a death of agony, he removed the rebel's punishment and he set the prisoner free. King immortal, faithful God, crowned with splendor, rich in love, let the heavens and the earth resound with songs of praise to you. Let the earth resound with songs of praise at the wonder yet to come, when all sin and pain are put to death and the church and Christ are one. When we stand as God's great family, the Father's gaze, and we share in his eternal joy as we join in ceaseless praise. King immortal, faithful God, crowned with splendor, rich in love, let the heavens and the earth resound with songs of praise to you.
Right, and with that, let's turn now to our first hymn this morning, which is hymn number 4 in your hymnals, The Lord is King, hymn number 4. And I'll ask you to please rise as we sing that hymn together.
Every creature
While the praise team makes their way back into the pews there, I'd like to invite up Reno Gazzola for our scripture reading this morning.
Hello, everybody. What a wonderful hymn. I don't know that I've heard that hymn before, and so the words are just so inspirational. I was looking at the liturgical calendar and the reading selections in preparing for this reading today, and it recommended Psalm 112, and I just kept reading and looked at Psalm 113, and you know, normally I don't think you're supposed to go beyond one passage, but I'm not sure the inspiration was divine, but the thought that came to me as I was thinking about that was, no rules, just right. So I guess if that's divinely inspired, well, today I'm reading two of the Psalms instead of just one. So starting with Psalm 112. And boy, doesn't it mesh so nicely with this hymn we just sang. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commandments. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and the righteous man. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked man will see and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who is enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with the princes of their people. He settles the barren woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord indeed. What beautiful reminders of just how wonderful God is, how great he is, how entirely unlike us he is, and worthy of our praise. Thank you. When you mentioned you kept going, I was a little worried you might want to read Psalm 119. I mean, I have to serve lunch before the sermon, but well, thank you very much. Well, as we are gathered here today, we get to join together in prayer, praying for each other, praying for our loved ones, and praying with each other. And so I'd ask, before we go to prayer, if there are any special prayer concerns that we can share together this morning, please let me know. Yes. Ooh, ouch. You bet. We'll pray for Virginia and healing after this broken hip. She had surgery today, you said? Yeah, okay. We'll definitely be in prayer for Virginia. Thank you. For sure. You bet. We'll be praying for Brandy as she enters into another round of chemo and radiation. Thank you. You bet. Oh, Jim. All righty. We'll be praying for Jim's whole family there and his wife. And let me get the first name right again. That was Dana?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, very good. Thank you. Oh, yes, thank you. Most of you have probably heard by now that Vivian Moss has passed away this week. And so definitely be in prayer for that whole family. And then the services should be coming up this Saturday. The funeral service will be this Saturday at 11 o'clock in the morning. And if anything changes that way, I'll certainly let you know. But that's the plan so far. Thank you. Yeah. Right, yeah, here at the church. Here at the church, that's right. Ooh. For sure. What was his name?
Jackson.
All righty. We'll pray for Jackson, the recovery for his concussion. That's right. It's so easy to get wrapped up in the world and away from the Word of God. So we'll definitely be in prayer for the young ones and our families. Thank you. Yes. It's our not only our pleasure, but our command to pray for our leaders. So we'll certainly do that. Yeah. You bet. Appreciations for the prayers we've been given for Tina and a few more weeks in rehab, but hopefully she'll be back home and feeling a lot better by then. Thank you. Well, if there are no others, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, your name is worthy to be praised. You have created all things. You have sustained all things. You have provided us with all our needs. And Lord God, you have provided us with the need all of us have, the need of salvation. You are the author of this salvation. You have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for the sins that separate us from you and that damn us to hell. Lord God, we thank you for this gift. We confess to you that we are in need of this forgiveness. We have sinned against you daily in the things, not only the things we do, but the things we think and the things we say. So, Lord, we come to you in your mercy, thanking you for the sacrifice of your Son, whose blood paid the full atonement for each and every one of our sins. And Lord, we pray that you would create in us a new heart, one that glorifies your name and does your work among the world around us. Lord God, in his name, we bring these prayers to you. We consider Virginia, and we want to pray for her recovery after the surgery on her hip. We pray that that recovery would be swift, and that the pain involved would be as little as possible. Lord, we pray for the young people in our families, especially those who are out of high school, into college, and starting new lives on their own. We just pray that your presence would be with them, that your Holy Spirit would be guiding them, and that they would be drawn to places where they would be exposed to your word, that they would hear it in its pure truth, and that you would create and sustain faith in each and every one of them. Lord, we pray for Brandy as she faces some more chemotherapy and radiation. Lord, we pray that you would give her comfort during this time of knowing that the cancer has returned, and give her strength to get through these treatments. Lord, give her family and friends wisdom and compassion to offer her during this time as well. Lord, we pray for Dana, who is ill, and pray for all those who are traveling to see her. Lord, we pray that you would keep her in your care, that you would give her the healing that she needs. And Lord, we pray for the family of Jim, who recently passed away, that you would care for them, give them your sympathy, and give them opportunities to hear the blessed promise of eternal life with you based on faith alone in your Son. Lord, we pray for our government. We especially pray for our new president and all the leaders there, that they would govern with wisdom, with humility, and with an eye to your perfect statutes. Lord, we pray for peace during this time of transition, that all those who have been given the right and the privilege to participate in this democratic system would do so with humility as well, and with patience, and with love. Lord, we pray for Jackson and the concussion that he has had. We pray for recovery for him. We pray for complete recovery, and that there would be no lasting effects after this. Lord, we pray for the entire family of Vivian Moss. We thank you for the great and steadfast faith you have given her. And we pray that we would continue to remember her as your servant, as a shining example of what it means to be faithful to you. Lord, we pray for Tina and her continued recovery. We thank you that she's getting some exceptional care, and that through the hands of the doctors and nurses, you are healing her. Lord, we pray for your continued healing in her, and that her strength would be returned, that this infection would be completely eradicated, and that you would restore her to perfect health once again. All right, we continue to pray for Doris and her healing. Pray that you continue to give her leg strength and get her back up on her feet again. Lord, we pray for Charles and his battles with cancer right now. Pray that you would give his mind clarity and his family peace as they care for him. We do continue to pray for Erin and the healing she needs. We pray that you would return strength to her body and give her complete wellness. Lord, we pray for James. Lord, we pray that the doctors would be able to make this kidney work for him. Lord, you'd been waiting so long for a replacement, and we just pray that you would be able to work in him and work through this kidney, that it would give him the health that he needs. Lord, we pray for wisdom for those doctors. Pray for the donor of that kidney, too, that he would be kept in good health. Lord, we continue to pray for Jessica and the healing that she needs. We pray for the pain that she is experiencing through all of this, that you would mitigate that and return her to perfect health again. And Lord, we consider Rita and pray for healing for her. We pray for Carnell as he seeks to be the strength and support that she needs. And pray for that whole family as they surround her with love and care. Lord, we continue to think of Larry and the health troubles he has, and pray that he would be restored to health, and that you would give him the strength he needs. Lord God, we pray for all those who are not able to be with us today, whether it's for illness or for traveling. We just pray that you would be with them, and that they would know that their presence is desired among us, and that we look forward to their safe return. Lord God, we also pray for the ministry and missions of this church. We pray that we would be a people who join alongside you in mission. That mission to go and make disciples of all nations. Lord, we pray for wisdom to do that. We pray for the courage to do that. We pray for the words to speak as you are seeking to save all who are lost. Lord, we just pray that we can be a part in that mission. Lord God, we bring all these prayers to you. We thank you for the opportunity to pray. We thank you that you have invited us to bring all these prayers to you. And we thank you that you're hearing and answering each and every one of them according to your perfect will. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week we had our annual meeting, and at that meeting we do things like pass the budget and look at our constitution, but as well we elect new leaders for the various ministries of our church. And so at this time, if you were one of those who are elected in, whether as an elder or treasurer, but not only elders and treasurers, but all the various ministries, women's ministries, education, library, all that stuff, would you please come on up? And we'll say a quick prayer and a blessing for these ministries. Don't be shy. Very good. Well, let us pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, your faithfulness is astounding. Lord, you have given us leaders to oversee the various ministries of our church, to work and to provide the manpower needed to complete your mission here on earth. Lord, we pray for these leaders. We pray for wisdom for them. For guidance. We pray that they would adhere to your word and be grounded in it, and that that word would be proclaimed faithfully in all the things that they do. Lord, you have shown us that there is no way of serving the church that is too small, that all parts are important, that they all come together to form a whole. And so, Lord, we pray that through these volunteers and through others, that we would be doing your will, accomplishing your purposes. Lord, we pray that you bless them with wisdom, with perseverance, that you would bless them in all the areas that they seek to serve. And we thank you for being faithful to provide these servants for us. Lord, bless them in all that they do, in your holy name. Amen. And for the time that they have committed to the service of the Lord and the work that they will do for this church, let's show our deepest appreciation. You may be seated. Let's turn now to our next hymn, which is hymn number 63 in your hymnals. Hymn number 63 is Praise Him, Praise Him. And when you've found that, I'll invite you to please rise as we sing this hymn together.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord and come. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Thank you for your singing. You may be seated. Last week we were looking at the part in the Lord's Prayer that says, Lord, Your will be done. And we were talking about how that prayer is that His will would be done among us. And now we look at the section that says, may Your will come about on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? Well, in fact, God's good and gracious will comes about without our prayer. But we ask in this prayer that it may also come about in and among us. Well, that makes us ask, how does this come about? Well, His will comes about whenever God breaks and hinders every evil scheme and will as are present in the will of the devil, the world, and in our flesh. That would not allow us to hallow God's name and would prevent the coming of His kingdom. And instead, whenever God strengthens us and keeps us steadfast in His word and in faith until the end of our lives, this is His good and gracious will. The war against the powers of the world, the powers of sin, the powers of Satan, and our own sinful flesh, that battle belongs to the Lord. And we pray in this prayer that His will would be done here on earth, in and among us, by breaking all of these evil schemes, all of those who would seek to hinder the spread of His gospel. That sin, that brokenness of the world would hinder His name from being kept holy. and would hinder his name from being spread abroad. And so in this prayer, we pray that not only for ourselves, that we would hold firm to these things, that we would hold firm to his teaching and his word, but also that he would provide us a good government, that he would provide us good builders, good rulers, also defenders, protectors, vigilant guardians, it says here. And we pray for these things that are most necessary too, for the gospel, for faith, for the Holy Spirit, that he may govern us, those of us who've been redeemed through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. And we pray for our own sake, as it says at the end here, that his will may be done also among us without hindrance, in spite of the world's fury, so that those who would resist this gospel and resist the Lord may accomplish nothing, and that we ourselves would remain steadfast against all violence and persecution and submit entirely to the will of God. Praise God that he has taught us to pray in this way. At this time, let's turn our attention to praising God with the giving of our offerings. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you've provided us not only our daily bread, but you have provided for us in abundance. And so, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to give a little back. And we pray that through these gifts, your will would be done. And we pray that you would help us to use them wisely for your own purposes. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'll invite you to turn with me now to our next hymn, which is hymn number 292. 292 is Unbounded Grace. I'll invite you to, again, please rise as you're able as we sing this hymn together.
Unbounded grace, it reaches.
was gone from view. In my despair, Christ came to me as he alone can do. Grace was for me the only way my guilt could find relief. My destiny was changed that day I reached out in belief. God's grace does not on me depend, it's God who is my stay. His love is offered without end, he walks with me each day. The universe with joy will ring when grace has won the day. As all creation joins to sing, praise God who paid the
Well, now please remain standing as we take a look at our scripture today for today's sermon, which today comes from Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. And I'll give you a moment to find that in your Bibles there. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. A passage that talks about is Jesus' teaching on what it means to be disciples in the world that we live in. Chapter 5, 13 to 20, reading in Jesus' name. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. This ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Well, it's no secret that I'm a fan of rock music, all right? If you come into my office throughout the course of the week, chances are you're going to hear some kind of rock and roll playing on my computer. I was born in the decade when some of the greatest rock, classic rock bands were kind of pushing back against that terrible tide called disco. Horrible stuff. I was raised on the prog rock and the hair bands of the 80s, and grunge took me through high school and college. In my 20s, I worked in the music industry during the new metal age and the throwback era of the new millennium. I was infused with the likes of John Cougar Mellencamp and Neil Young, Rush and Dream Theater, Joan Jett and Heart, the Scorpions and even Stryper, Soundgarden, Jet, and Queensryche. All of these bands I follow, they all have one thing in common. They were all extraordinary musicians. Extraordinary. I mean, you say what you like about the style of music that they played, but you can't deny that these folks just had talent coming out of their ears. And I didn't have time for pop or any of that electronic music. I only listened to those musicians who were truly musicians. Folks that were at the top of their game, you know, and innovative, talented. And through all of this, I developed a deep appreciation for talented guitar players in general. There's a strain of rock musicians, Steve Vai, Joe Satriani, a guy named Yngwie Malmsteen, who put out solo guitar albums because their exceptional talent allows them to just stand on their own. One of these guitarists is a man by the name of Brian Patrick Carroll. Guitar One magazine named him as one of the top 10 fastest guitar players of all times. And he wound up on Guitar World's top 50 fastest guitarists. But this guy is known by most people simply as Buckethead. Buckethead. Why Buckethead? Well, because whenever he performs on stage, he wears a white mask over his face and a Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket on his head. Weird guy. Really weird guy. He also made Guitar World's top 25 weirdest guitarists of all time. That's a real list. Buckethead. And I guess he wears the mask and the bucket because he's actually kind of shy. You know, he was a shy kid and he's a shy adult now. It also seems that he wants the music he creates to be the focus of the show and not he himself. But whatever the reason, he hides behind a mask and a bucket. Now, what's all that have to do with Holy Scripture? Well, I'm going to tell you. In our text for today, we have Jesus teaching us, quite simply, to not be bucketheads. You don't light a lamp and put it under a bushel. Nor does Christ make you the light of the world only for you to hide under a bucket. You're made to be the salt of the earth, but not to become unsalty and worthless. Before we get to how we can be bucketheads, let's look at what Jesus is talking about with the salt and light business. As you read various theologians and commentators, there's general agreement that the salt and light represent Christians whose calling is to do good works towards their neighbors and the bringing of the gospel to them. There's some disagreement as to which represents which, but the imagery is consistent throughout all of Scripture. Basically, the image of salt is that of a preservative. Salt was and still is very important as a preservative against food going bad. It prevents food from decaying. And so, in the Mideastern culture of Jesus' day, salt also took on a very symbolic use. And salt would be partaken by people who were solemnizing a contract or a deal or an alliance. What they do was they would each eat a little bit of salt, signifying the longevity of the deal that they just made together. The preservative function of salt stands in stark contrast to the decay that exists in the world. And then there's light. And that's even easier to understand, isn't it? Throughout Scripture, light is spoken of as that which shines into the darkness of sin. Light represents truth against lies. And light brings hope to a world darkened by sin and death. And so Jesus is saying to his disciples here that they are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And that's you too. It's not just these disciples. That's all of Christ's disciples. You too, all followers of Christ, everyone who possesses faith in him and in his atonement for sin on the cross, are now salt and light. Now, there are plenty of sermons out there that will tell you how to be salt and light. Or rather, that will encourage you to become salt and light, to encourage you to aspire to be salt and light, or to achieve saltness and lightness. But this isn't one of those sermons, not today. Because that's actually not what the text is saying here. Being salt and light here, that isn't a commandment in the text. Jesus isn't giving you an imperative to go be salt and light. The word are here is just that. You are these things. Jesus is simply stating the fact. Through faith, through the power of the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Spirit, you are already salt and light. And because you are already these things, you don't need to be told. You don't need to be told to be salt and light any more than salt needs to be told to be salty or light needs to be told to shine. These things are already in their nature. Same with you. You are already salt in the earth. As followers of Christ, in possession of the power of the Holy Spirit and the knowledge of Holy Scripture, it is already in your nature to go out into a world that is decaying, that is bending under the weight of sin. It is in your nature to go out there and be the counter against the corruption of the world. You're already equipped to serve your neighbor out of love, being the counter against the effects of the decay and the rot of sin. As salt, you feed the hungry, clothe the naked, care for the foreigner, the orphan, the widow. You care for the sick, you befriend the friendless. You counteract the decaying power of moral corruption in the world. And the greater function you have as salt is to spread the healing, preserving word of the gospel. That gospel that plucks sinners out of death and hell and delivers them into the eternal kingdom of God, where there is no death, there is no decay. And you are already the light of the world. Now, of course, Jesus is the light of the world. We know that. But because of faith in him, Jesus dwells in you. Your identity is derived from him, and his light now shines through you. The light of Christ in you is the same light that makes you the light of the world. And as that light, you now shine into the darkness of this world. The world that is so darkened by myths and lies and sin, you are the light that brings truth into it. The darkness that surrounds your neighbor who is struggling just to eat or buy their medicine, you are the light that shines into that darkness. And because it is the light of Christ that shines through you, you are that shining city on a hill. You are that shining city, not your church, not your city, your state, or country, but you. You are that bright and shining city on a hill. You possess the truth of the gospel that is a beacon of refuge to all who are perishing in the dark wilderness all around it. It is in your nature to shine the light of the gospel into the lives of all who are living in darkness. So in all of this, I hope you realize that being salt and light comes not from any power inherent in you, but it comes all from the power that is given to you through faith and the Holy Spirit. My job then going forward is not to make you into salt and light, but rather just to continue to bring you scripture that shows you what it means to be salt and light in the world. But even though the power to be salt and light isn't in your hands, the power to tread the salt underfoot and to hide the light under a basket is. It is in your power, or rather, it's in the power of your sinful nature to take these gifts and keep them away from the world around you. You can willingly refuse to be a blessing to your neighbor. You can willingly refuse to bring the gospel to your neighbor. In short, you can willingly be a buckethead, hiding away from the world under the bucket of your own sinful nature. And today's passage teaches us not to do that. So the first way we are encouraged not to be bucketheads is simply by realizing the fact that good works we do towards our neighbor are the means by which Christ's light shines into the world. Those good works that we do are visible outpourings of our faith. And they are done for the purpose, the expressed purpose, of being seen by the world. Now, we don't do them for our own glory. We don't do them for our own pride. We don't do them to bolster our standing before God, as was common among the scribes and Pharisees of Jesus' day. But we do them for the sole purpose that those around us would see that light, hoping that they would recognize that light as the light of Christ, and that by seeing they would join with you in glorifying God in faith. Now, the next way we're encouraged not to be bucketheads is this call to take Scripture seriously and to take all of it seriously. The whole of Scripture. And that's exactly what Jesus meant when he uses these words, the law and the prophets. That's all of Scripture. The whole of Scripture stands despite the personal work of Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus didn't abolish, he didn't do away with any part of God's law or the writings of his prophets, but rather he came to fulfill it all. And what that means is that he first lived the perfect, lawful life that none of us ever could. He lived that perfect, lawful life also that in his death, he would not be dying for his own sins, but he would be dying for yours. And now, because faith has released you from the demands of the law, you are now recreated into a person who is now enabled and empowered to fulfill the law's commands. Problem is, there's times when we read some of the law and we really want to put the bucket on. Let's be honest. Rather than viewing the whole of God's law as a revelation of all that is right and good, we would prefer to hide from this little commandment or that little commandment. Don't like those ones. Or just as bad, when God's law tells us how to act towards our neighbor, to do that second greatest commandment, to love our neighbor as ourselves, there are certain neighbors that we would just rather not be a blessing to, aren't there? I'll be salt and light to this person. And I'll be salt and light to this person. Well, when it comes to that kind of person, on goes the bucket. The light is hidden and the salt loses its flavor, doing damage to the image of Christ in us. And the last way we're encouraged not to be bucketheads is by blocking out the gospel entirely. It's not only about taking the whole of the law as God's counsel, but the gospel as well. See, the placement of Jesus' teaching here is very telling. It follows right after the Beatitudes, all of those blessings that come from God simply through faith in his Son. The Beatitudes tell us all about the undeserved grace of God towards sinners and the formative power of the gospel upon those who believe. And without these Beatitudes, Jesus' whole sermon here would be just one big lesson on works righteousness, what you need to do to be good, the way you can work your way into heaven. And that sermon would be no different than the sermons that scribes and Pharisees would give. But what comes at the end of this passage is the dire warning that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, you got to understand that the scribes and Pharisees seem to be really righteous people. They truly were good acting people. They knew all the commandments of God. They knew them all by heart, and they did their level best to try to live by those commandments every moment of every day. They were a people who were admired by everyone who saw their conduct in life. But their hearts were as black as Satan's. You see, their work was based entirely on pride, on aspiration, based on, at best, fear. And it's a sad reality that some really great works are often done by those whose hearts are hard and decayed by sin. These scribes and Pharisees had no faith in God and could do nothing to please him. And so they were barred from the kingdom of heaven despite their obedience to the law. Your righteousness is to be greater than yours. Is to be greater than theirs. In other words, the righteousness you need doesn't come from the works you do. And so if you have the same kind of righteousness as the scribes and the Pharisees, a righteousness where your sole concern is doing good things for the praise of men and in the hopes of pleasing God, then you too will be just as damned as the most vile and unrepentant sinner. On the other hand, if you have faith in Christ, if you simply believe that he has paid the full debt that you, a sinner, owe to God, then you now have a righteousness equal to Christ's. You have a righteousness far exceeding the scribes and the Pharisees or any other good person you've ever met. You have a righteousness that cannot be found on earth, but that can only be found by the gracious acquittal of a holy God. And now if you're sitting there still thinking, still convinced that you can be good enough to please God, just read a little further in Matthew here. You'll see what Jesus' sermon has to say about that. Well, we're getting a little long in the wind here, and so I'm going to sum up. Don't be a buckethead. Don't do it. All the power of God to be salt and light in the world has been given to you by the Holy Spirit and Holy Scripture. Don't hide it. Don't hide yourself away from the dark and scary world out there. You are already a resident of the kingdom of heaven, and that is a kingdom that will not be defeated. Go out there and salt the world. Let your light shine before men. Care for and serve your neighbors, even the most vile of them, all the while bringing the salt and light of the gospel to them. And if you ever find that the KFC bucket is on your head, simply take it off. Deny the flesh and be who God has recreated you to be. Let us pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we confess that if it were up to us to be salt and light, we'd get it wrong every time. But you have created us, recreated us. You have given us new life in Christ. And we already are the salt and light you need us to be. Lord, we confess that it's easy to hide. It's easy to throw a basket over that light, to lose the flavor of that salt, to deny the power of your gospel. So, Lord, we pray that you forgive all the times we failed and just empower us, embolden us to go meet the world, to be the salt and light you've encouraged us to be. Help us to know how to serve our neighbor and how to bring your precious gospel to them. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll invite you to turn with me now to our last hymn this morning. A little further back in the book, our last hymn is 557, Redeemed. And please rise again as you're able as we sing this hymn together.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. Redeemed. happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me does continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I worship him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. I know I shall see in his beauty the King in whose light delight, who lovingly guards all my footsteps and gives to me song in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed of the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever.
Please receive this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.